inflammation is the root of all evil. When you have inflammation, your cells don't work, your cell membranes don't work. And so there's so many millions of people walking around with all this inflammation, and then they wonder why they don't feel well. Well, they don't feel well because nothing can get into their cell. Their body's not absorbing what they need from their gut and the nutrition that we eat. And then
the further you get away from nature, the more screwed your body's gonna be. A lot of the drugs come from nature, and then they synthesize them, add a bunch more toxins to make them more effective, to cause more immune stimulation or whatever it may be. But nature has all the answers.
This one medication you're taking to fix this one symptom is also messing up 20% of the other cells in your body. I mean, we might be fixing that symptom, but we're just covering it up, and then we're causing a lot of other issues. And the first thing doctors do is say, okay, well, here's a medication. Okay, you can't sleep, let me write you a prescription. All those medications cause side effects. So every chemical you put in your body is going to affect.
Dr. Cassie, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show today. I'm really excited about sharing your journey, your story as a medical doctor moving into modalities that are different than traditional medicine, let's say, but very powerful and transforming lives. So let's hear a little bit about your story, and then let's get into some toxicities as we do here on the show, and then how we can eliminate some of these things in our lives to live more connected, fuller, amazing lives.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. I think the way that we got together, I was just sharing, you know, with him that just this, the fact that we're having this is very, it's kind of spiritual to me. But this morning I woke up at Mindshare and I was talking to my assistant and I was like, you know, I need a podcast episode for next week. So I started my podcast in April of this year, and I did it because I really felt drawn to give people good education.
Yeah.
That was it. Because I was very sick, and I'll get there in a second, but I feel like there's not good education for people that really want it. And so I just woke up one April and I was taking a walk after a lot of praying, and I decided I was going to start a podcast. And so I ordered a bunch of stuff, sat down and just started talking. Yeah. And what I've learned is that I told my listeners the first time I recorded my podcast, I said, okay, here's your podcast and I'm going to do another one next week. Mm-hmm. And I say that every week. And it's like, okay, well, I said it nationally, publicly, so I have to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so because of this week traveling and whatnot, I just hadn't had one ready. I have one for this coming Sunday, but then the following Sunday, I don't have one. And when I get back, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna have time to record one. And so I said to my assistant this morning, this is crazy. I'm not sure how I'm gonna figure out how to get this podcast done, but I have to, like, I feel obliged to because I have all these people that look forward to it. And then I was just having to leave after that little morning session, and I saw that you guys were sitting there and I saw the title of your book and I thought, oh my gosh, toxins, like that's what I talk about all day. I want to go meet this guy. So I walk up to you and I want to know about you. And then we just start talking and then you say, let's make a podcast. So if that's not the universe telling you you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? As opposed to what I was doing 7 years ago, then I don't know what is.
That's beautiful.
So what started with me was I grew up in a small town. Mm-hmm. Farm town.
I was born in a small town.
I was. And I quickly knew that I didn't want to stay there, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is not me.
Me too, by the way.
Hard work. I mean, my parents were great. Neither one of them went to college, had a lot of education, but I was always drawn to people. Mm-hmm. My question was always like, why? Like, I love people. I love taking care of people. I've always been like a giver. And I always had questions about like, well, why do people get sick? How do we make them better? How do we keep them from getting sick? Like, that's me, right? And so I knew I wanted to do medicine. So I went to medical school. And then I decided after medical school, I practiced actually for a year. I was a primary care doctor for a year. And I hated it. I was so sad because people would come see me and they would be on all these medicines. And I would give them more medicine because that's what I was taught in school, right? Like, well, their blood pressure is not where it's supposed to be. Their cholesterol is not where they're supposed to be. Their diabetes is out of control. Let me give you another pill. And they would come back in 2 or 3 months and they still weren't where they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then they needed another pill because they were having side effects to the pill that I gave them, you know? And so it was just like this, I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. It was so disheartening to me because I had this passion of like, I want to help people feel better. I want to get. Mm-hmm. And so after a year, I said, okay, I'm going to go to fellowship and I'm going to be an endocrinologist because an endocrinologist will learn how to take care of hormones and how to take care of metabolism. I saw weight as a huge issue and diabetes. And so I'm going to go be the best diabetes, hormone, thyroid, weight doctor so that I don't like I can make people better, right?
Yeah.
So I go back.
Specialize so yes. you can have better tools to, yes. there's gotta be light at the end of the tunnel.
Something besides just giving them more yeah. medicine. And so I go back to fellowship and I do this fellowship for 2 years and I get out of fellowship and I go to work for Mercy Hospital. It's a big corporate hospital. And the same thing happened, Warren. It was like
Owie.
People came in. And they had diabetes, and I was doing everything I was told to do, right? I was putting them on the medicines they needed to be put on. I'm putting them on their ACE inhibitors. I'm checking all the boxes, and they're coming back 3 months later. And they might be getting a little better, but, like, they need more medication now because they have side effects from their medication. Or, you know, their weight's still going up. Or they're still telling me, even though their blood sugars are better, I'm tired. I don't mm-hmm. feel good. I don't. And they're all having these same symptoms, right? I have brain fog. I have fatigue. I don't feel like myself. They're crying. And, like, in corporate medicine, you're seeing 20 to 25 people a day. And I would go home and I would be so drained. I was just like, I felt awful because, again, I worked really hard because I wanted people to feel better. And so I find so much joy in somebody coming in and saying, like, I feel better. You know, like, that's all I want. I start every single visit still to this day. The first thing I walk in the door, I'm like, hey, Warren, how are you feeling? That's the first question out of my mouth. I want to know, like, how are you feeling?
Because that's your feedback loop.
In med school, they teach you that doesn't matter, right? Like, nobody cares. Just if this is done and this is done and this is done, just kick them out of the hospital, right? Like, or if all these boxes are checked and their blood pressure is good, next, right? Nobody talks about, like, that human connection and how are you feeling. And in my mind, like, that's what I want to know, because my whole goal is to make you feel as well as you can so that you go into the world and do what you were brought here to do. Because if everyone was doing that, imagine how awesome this world would be, right? Like, if everyone felt well and could give 100% of themselves all day long, imagine the things that we could do in this world.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's one of the reasons I do what I do. Yeah.
And so after fellowship, that still wasn't happening. And I was also very frustrated at this point. I was about 32 at this time. I had been sick for a really long time. So whenever I was in med school, I developed Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. I'm in the ICU, like, running a code. And I realized, like, my heart rate is higher than the person's heart rate that I'm coding. And figure out I have Graves' disease. Go see an endocrinologist. And they're like, oh, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing we can do other than give you this medicine. Well, that medicine made me feel terrible. It made me want to throw up every day. It made me have headaches. It made me. And so I go back to the doctor and they're like, well, there's nothing else we can do besides ablate your thyroid. Well, to me, I'm like, that doesn't sound like, you know. And so I spent a lot of my time in med school and residency trying to figure out, like, asking questions. Like, well, is there another way to fix this? Like, how do I get better? You know, nobody talked to me about the fact that you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you know, all these things that cause stress. Nobody talks to you about that. And so then I go to fellowship, and still in fellowship, nobody can teach you how to take care of your own thyroid, and I have thyroid issues, right? I luckily went into remission from Graves, but then I got Hashimoto's. And so then I'm still like, mm-hmm. okay, my brain is foggy. I exercise. I do all these things. I couldn't find anyone that gave me answers that made me happy either. And so all this was kind of coming to a head, right? Like, okay, so now I'm taking care of people. I've been in school for like 15 bazillion years. I come home. I'm still not happy because I don't have people feeling better. I don't feel better. Like, it was just this whole I was not happy.
That's what I like to call a shit show.
It was a shit show. And so I remember vividly sitting down with my husband, and we hadn't been married very long, and he has a finance background. And I said, Rob, I don't think I want to be a doctor anymore. And he's a little older than I am, so he doesn't, you know, react. He's good with not reacting.
The pause.
You know, how you men are. And he said, babe, you're almost $500,000 in debt. You're going to be a doctor. I was like, okay. So I was like, well, something's got to give because I'm not happy, you know? And so, and at the time, I'm going to be honest with you too. I was doing speaking for pharmaceutical companies, mm-hmm. right? So I'm talking about all these diabetes medicines because I feel like, well, I know about them. I helped do research on them. And it just wasn't, I don't know. I laid down at night and I just wasn't one with myself. I wasn't happy, right? Like, I felt like in my left side of my brain, I was thinking, I don't want to give people all these medicines. They're not getting better. If they just fix their diet and their lifestyle and we change some things with their, you know, with the way we thought about medicine, they would be better. But then the right side of my brain was like, well, no, this is what you were taught. You're a very type A. This is the box. They're in their box. Check off the box, you know? And so I just had this internal, like, conflict. And I just, it went on for like a year and a half. And then I became more unhealthy and I became more sick. And it finally just came to a head one day. And I was like, I can't do this. I literally saw like 25 people. They all came in. They all felt terrible. They were all on a million drugs. Nobody was getting better. And I quit my job. I quit. And so I did that in March of 2020, probably the worst
time
ever. Oh,
wow, this is pretty new.
Yeah, so March of 2020 is when I quit, and I was like, I'm going to start my own practice. March 1st of 2020, probably the worst time in the last century to start your own practice, right?
Yeah, very, very bad timing. Most people were closing their clinics down or going virtual.
So I did that. And in starting my own practice, what I realized is like, okay, what I've been doing isn't working. So I need to figure out something else, right? I had this desire. I really want people to feel better, right? I'm seeing all these women. And so I found my way into the functional medicine world. I found my way into some bioidentical hormones. And then I started learning about nutrition and supplements, diet and exercise. And so just over the last 4.5 years, I started learning things for myself and my patients. And it has been the most amazing transformation over the last 4.5 years. I've been lucky enough to have patients that have come along with me on the ride, right? I've had patients since I got out of fellowship that have seen this whole transformation.
Oh, wow. They followed you.
I've had patients for 7-8 years.
And some of those people have seen
They've seen it all.
Yeah.
They've seen it all. And, you know, I just thankfully have found this niche of people like you, like my people, you know, who think like I do. You know, there's a lot of people where I live that are like, she's crazy. Like, I'm trying to take people off medicine. I'm trying to teach them to heal their gut and heal their body and sleep and, you know, all these things that just the world doesn't teach us, right? And that's why I started my podcast. It's just called Back to the Basics. Like, let's just talk about basic things, sleep, nutrition, you know, energy, vibrations, food that help your body heal yourself. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am today. And then
this is fun.
Yeah.
This is a great story.
We just opened a clinic August 12th. So 6 weeks ago. Finally, it's taken 39 years, but my dream has come true. So I have this wellness center of excellence, I would call it, where you can come and we do all the functional medicine testing that you need if you want. We do gut health testing. We do toxin testing, heavy metals, uric acid, you know, Dutch testing.
Oh, all the fun stuff. Dutch hormone tests. Yeah. I mean,
whatever you need, we'll do it. And then we have ways to help you feel better. And we have memberships where people come in and, you know, we do cold plunge therapy and we do red light.
You're doing all the things.
We do ozone. I mean, we do it all just to try to help
another people. $500,000.
Peptide therapy. Yeah. I wish I could have got out of that building for $500,000.
Yeah.
We're in seven figures there, but
I just meant on the stuff that you got, like all the toys.
It's
all
so
the
much.
Toys. Yeah.
But you know what makes
healing modalities.
What makes me really happy is like, I finally feel like I have this place that's like my place with my people, and the people who come there are the people who really want to get better and who I can help, you know? And it's just like this amazing feeling, because now when I go to see people, it's like, hey, Warren, how are you feeling? And people are like, I feel the best I've felt in 50 years. Yeah. I have people who cry. I have people who send me flowers. I have people who give me hugs. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's so different than before.
It's so different.
It's so different.
It's like, and not always the case, but I've seen and talked to friends, it's like having a baby at home without all the medical interventions and risks and drugs, and then having home births. Like, all home birth are babies outside of hospitals. The most spiritual, connected, loving experience that it's probably the most beautiful thing you can experience, right? And then I see horror stories in hospitals, and it's sometimes, a lot of times it's the hospital that makes the mistakes, right? And they're not accountable for them, because you sign your life away once you walk into that door, and people don't know what they're signing. And strong lawyers, we talked about that. Like, if you trust somebody that has a legal background and you sign a document, beware, you know, things can get really crappy. And I know we've been both through our challenges with people over the years. And we talked about that off camera. So let's talk about one of the number one toxins that I don't often talk about, because it's not something that I understand, right, is how toxic medications can be. Why are medications so stinking toxic to our bodies? Because they fix numbers, but you said this, they're side effects. Mm-hmm. Why are those side effects? Why are these medications not healing? And they're actually, from what I understand, poisoning, you know, us at the cellular level.
Yeah. So every medication is different, right? So before we get a bunch of hate, I will say there are certain medications that are
helpful,
life-saving and needed.
Oh, there are lots of, there's time and a place.
I would say 5%.
Like, time and a place for a med.
Antibiotics sometimes are needed, unfortunately. You know, I try to heal a lot of people without them. But for the most part, the medications that we give patients, what I have found is like, they're just covering up a symptom or a disease process, or what I like to tell people is inflammation. So I feel like inflammation is the root of all disease processes.
Time Magazine talks about it.
So inflammation is the root of all evil. You have inflammation. When you have inflammation, your cells don't work. Your cell membranes don't work, meaning that all of the millions and trillions of cells that you have little membranes with receptors that sit there. Mm-hmm. And receptors are the way that hormones get into cells and so that cells can do their job, right? So cells have to eat, right? Just like we do. So all cells need food. They need energy. They need hormones in order to work. So like if your hair needs to grow, if your body needs, your temperature needs to regulate, you know, whatever needs to happen, each cell in your body has a function. Yeah. And in order for that function to happen, they have cell membranes and receptors. The receptors take in a hormone so that that cell can do its job. Mm-hmm. When you are chronically inflamed, that receptor that's trying to take that hormone in so the cell can do their job becomes really tense. And so it's hard for that hormone to come in. So it's like us trying to walk through that door and it be, you know, triple bolted. Yeah. And we're just trying to go in, we can't. And so there's so many millions of people walking around with all this inflammation. And then they wonder why they don't feel well. Well, they don't feel well because nothing can get into their cell. Their body's not absorbing what they need from their gut and the nutrition that we eat. And then what we are actually absorbing and the hormones our body is actually making can't get into the cell to work. So they feel terrible. So they come in and they say, I have brain fog or I'm tired or whatever, I'm overweight. And the first thing doctors do is say, okay, well, here's a medication, right? Like, okay, well, here's, you can't sleep. Let me write you a prescription. Right. Oh, you're hungry. Let me write you a prescription. Every single symptom we have, we want to write a prescription because that's what we're taught in school, right? We're taught in school. And I truly believe that doctors and providers do it for the right reason, right? Like they want people to feel better.
Yeah.
But when they're writing somebody a prescription, that's not always what's going to make them feel better, right? Maybe for a second. But like you said, the problem is all those medications cause side effects. So every chemical you put in your body is going to affect other bodily functions and chemicals, right? So a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs that we take, although they may be, you know, covering a symptom, masking a symptom, making something better, they're also causing damage to a lot of other cells. And there's so many trillions of things that happen in your body that have to happen harmoniously and synchronized that if this one medication you're taking to fix this one symptom is also messing up 20% of the other cells in your body, then we're really not, I mean, we might be fixing that symptom, but we're just covering it up. And then we're causing a lot of other issues. And so I started finding that, you know, a lot of the medications that millions of people are on cause so many bad side effects. You know, the medications we take for acid reflux, millions of people in this country are on medicine for acid reflux. There is a tiny subset of people who have really bad heartburn and need those medications because they have precancerous lesions. But my question is, why do you have heartburn? Is it your diet? Is it something going on in your gut? Let's fix that. Because then we don't give you a medicine that lowers the stomach acid content. And so then your food can actually properly digest and you don't get sick. You know, just all these medications have all these bad side effects and consequences. And we know this. And there's studies that show this. I don't know if you know this, but there's a study that shows if a woman takes a statin, which is a cholesterol lowering medication, mm-hmm. right? Those, we write those like candy, like hand them out like candy, just like acid lowering medication, right? If a woman is on a statin for more than 10 years after the age of 55, mm-hmm. her risk of breast cancer goes to over 92% in her lifetime.
It's almost guaranteed.
Almost guaranteed. But we write statins for women without any data. So for primary prevention, there has never been a study that shows if a woman is over 55 and has not had a heart attack, that she needs a statin for primary prevention. There's no study that shows that that increases her life expectancy, anything. We just do it because that's what we were taught in school. And that's because what we do that for men. Okay. Now, secondary prevention, there are some studies, but primary, none. I see women all the time who come to me over 55 that are on a statin. Why are you on this? Well, my doctor said I needed it because my cholesterol's high. No thought process in it. How long have you been on it? Sometimes it's a really long time. Not only are we causing muscle issues with this woman, we're affecting their liver, it affects your thyroid, but we're also increasing their risk of breast cancer. And did we even really need that medication? Because if your cholesterol is a little high, well, what is the ratio? You need cholesterol for certain things.
Cholesterol's powerful.
Yeah. And so it's just things like this. There's so, like, I could talk to you about this for hours, but like as providers, we're just brainwashed in school, right? Like if this, then this, if this, then this. And what we have to do in medicine and just in the universe as a whole is stop looking at the tree and look at the damn forest, right? Like there's, okay, yes, you are tired, but you know how many things cause fatigue? Like I see people for fatigue all the time. Like this is my niche. Everyone that I see is fatigued, right?
Yeah.
It can be your diet. It can be your sleep. It can be your hormones. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, your relationships. It can be your stress. It can be medications you're actually taking, right? They're affecting your sleep. They're affecting REM. Alcohol is a huge one. Alcohol affects your REM sleep. So many people drink alcohol, think nothing of it. If you actually start tracking your REM sleep, you'll see it affects it. I mean, there's so many things, but people just jump to like, oh, you know, or insomnia. Well, you can't sleep. Let me give you a medicine to make you sleep, which affects your sleep architect.
Like psychotic drugs.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's just
for sleep.
And these medicines, all of them, like you said, like they can be toxic, right? So although they're FDA approved and they're made, you know, wherever they're made, I mean, do we know every chemical that's in them? You know, are we testing that? For instance, thyroid medication. This is near and dear to my heart, right? I'm an endocrinologist. For years, I put people on thyroid medicine, levothyroxine, Synthroid, like what they taught me. Every thyroid medication other than 50 micrograms has colored dye in it. They're color-coded so you know what dose they are. So like 25s are yellow and 75s are purple and there's a blue and there's, you know, they have all these dyes. So we're giving millions and millions of people medicine every day that have all these additive dyes and fillers. Why are we putting dyes and fillers and additives in medications that we're giving people every single day? Why?
Probably lowers their insurance because you have it. It's less risk of getting the wrong meds. But if you took too much thyroid, I don't know what that would.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
it is insanity.
It's just
like Fruit Loops.
Yeah, it's like literally a sink overflowing, and instead of you trying to turn off the water, you're mopping up the floor. You know, that's what we're doing. All the time with medicine. And so when people come to me and they have this ginormous med list, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, you know, I can almost in my mind deduct like, okay, well, I bet they were on this first and this first, and then they got put on this because this caused a side effect.
Do you ever do that to somebody?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah. They start with this one, right?
Yeah. I'm like, This is what you were on and this is what you're on. And then you couldn't sleep. And so then you got put on this. And then after you got put on this, now you can't pee because it made you stop peeing. And so then you got put on this. And it's just, people are like, well, yeah, but I need it. And I'm like, do you? Like, let's just start
really?
Over.
Yeah.
Like, do you? Do you know how many toxins you're putting in your body, you know? So it's just, it's a very sensitive subject because I really do believe that doctors, most of them are very compassionate and want to help people, but that's just what we've
been. To put yourself through hell for 15 years like you did, like you cared deeply, right?
But what we're doing is harming people because of the bad education, right? And because of the education that's dictated by pharmaceutical companies and by, you know, all that, we won't get into that. But what we're not doing is looking at the person as a whole and saying, okay, how can we start taking some of these things away that aren't naturally made in the body? How can we start helping the body naturally heal itself? Because our body was made to heal itself, right?
Absolutely. Like, you cut yourself, it's going to heal. Yeah. It's beautiful.
There's so many amazing things you can do with breath work and mindfulness. And I mean, you know, some people think that that's crazy, but you really can do a lot of things, healing your gut, nutrition, sleep. And so it's just like, that's where my passion lies is, you know, medications, diet, sleep, toxins, all the things we're putting on our skin. It's just crazy. And we just need better education around that. Like, the people that are listening to this, start looking at the ingredients and all the medications you're taking, right? Like, so just look, get in your medicine cabinet and say, okay, I'm on lisinopril. Let's look up lisinopril. Like, what is actually in lisinopril for blood pressure? Let's look up our statin medication. What's actually in it? Do you even know the side effects of your medication? Did your provider even talk to you about it? If you are on a statin medication, do your joints hurt? Do your legs hurt? Have you had to start taking more thyroid medication? Is your blood sugar higher? All these things are side effects of statins. Yet we write millions of prescriptions and half the time patients don't even know that.
They're not educated consent, right?
And then they think, and the problem is then they come back 3 months later. Here's the problem. They come back 3 months later and they think, okay, well, Dr. Smith gave me a statin for my cholesterol. And now I come back 3 months later and I'm trying to eat better. And I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to do everything she told me to do. I come back 3 months later and she says, oh my gosh, now your blood sugar is high. Now you need another medicine. That patient immediately is thinking, well, it's me. It's me. I've tried really hard, but I'm not doing good enough.
I'm not good
enough.
Or
it might be that damn medicine I gave you 3 months ago. And so then psychologically that patient's like, well, I'm not doing well enough. I'm not. And so then they get in a bad headspace. Well, you're not going to get well when you're in a bad headspace, when you're talking to yourself like that, right? And so then eventually they're going to give up because they're like, well, I'm eating really clean. I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to do all these things and it's really hard and I'm not getting better. And Dr. Smith keeps giving me more medicine. So screw it. I'm just going to eat Taco Bell anyways. And I kind of don't blame them, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know what, maybe this isn't just you. Maybe it's the physiology. It's all the chemical processes in your body. It's the things we're putting in your body and the toxins. Like, let's start taking some of them away and see if you can fix yourself.
Yeah, I mean, to simplify that, I like to say is the further you get away from nature, the more screwed your body is going to be.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of the drugs come from nature, and then they synthesize them, add a bunch more toxins to make them more effective, right? To cause more immune stimulation or whatever it may be. But nature has all the answers. And the further we get away from it, the further you get away from those solutions, the more difficulty you're going to have. So if you look at, is this taking me closer to God, to nature, when I take this drug? Am I broken? No, you're not broken. You are an amazing healing machine that if you give it just a little bit of help, right, it will heal. It will transform. It will run towards the process that it was naturally designed to. So getting further away from nature, whether it's scared of the sun, right? Creating cholesterol sulfate, which you need for your hormones to be happy and healthy, right? You gotta be in the sun. You don't wanna fry yourself, but you can build up your skin. What does it do? It gets tan, it adapts, right? So you can get more sun, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can, it's summertime and the seasons shift, and then you get, you know, it's not like, it's crazy, but then we wanna get tan so we look good. So then we go out and we burn ourselves, right? So if we put our feet on the ground, if we garden, if we get soil microbes that our body needs for our microbiome to that are designed to turn on and off our genes that
right.
make us healthy. And even, you know, it's silly that we live in this matrix of a society that's run by big corporations and business that are profiting off of our disease and the challenges that we have in these systems. But it's so fun because the medical community, doctors like yourself, are coming out of the woodwork. I meet them all the time. Like, you're not alone.
I know I'm not alone.
You are not alone. We just had Dr. Ola on right before you, and I could just go through. I mean, I go to these medical conferences and get to meet these doctors. And I'll tell you what, when I first started this in 2005, 2006, 2006, really getting plugged into the natural health community, because I had to, right? Meeting medical doctors, there wasn't very many, right? And now there's thousands and thousands and thousands of functional medical doctors and clinics like yours across the country popping up. And I think as the money flows that direction, we're gonna see more and more, there's a chance, you know, that this, some people aren't as hopeful as I am, but I think we can shift this thing around and make it more available for people, and getting back to regenerative farming and reducing toxins, you know, what's going on in the Senate right now. Like, hopefully these people's hearts open, and that's my prayer, that their hearts see and open and can hear this message that you're sharing, and more people can be helped.
Well, we have to. Like, there's not a choice, right? So, like, it is just, it's scary what the world's coming to, right? Like, we have to, as patients, as providers, as humans, demand better, because
they deserve
better.
We're
getting sicker. We're spending more money. Mm-hmm. We're missing more days of work. We feel terrible. And we're allowing the government, the country, that to make these decisions for us. Like, you're allowing other people to make decisions about your health.
That's a powerful thing, right?
Longevity.
It's okay, if you're listening to this, to make your own decision.
Yes.
Yeah, to research yourself.
And I love
yeah.
that. I love when people come to me, you know, now that I've kind of gone on social media, people come to me and they just say, you know, I don't know why I'm here. I just know that I don't feel as well as I used to feel. Can you help me figure out why? Like, I've made that decision, you know? And it's hard and it sucks right now because insurance won't pay for a lot of this. But again, you can't let other people dictate your health. Like, if you do, you're going to pay for it one way or another.
Yeah,
you know,
pay now, pay later.
And it's just so frustrating because you can see the trajectory of where our country's going, right? We're fatter than we've ever been. Kids, obesity. You know, I check all these labs on all these patients all the time. I see astronomically terrible insulin levels, fatty liver disease in kids too. Like, I see teenagers, and kids are getting liver transplants because they've eaten bad food and are obese. Children are getting liver transplants. Like, this is like, people should be outraged.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah, they should literally be like, and here's another prime example. My sister lives in Australia. My sister left America many years ago. She said, y'all are crazy. She's got a lot of views, but she lives in Australia. And you know, there are certain things that we eat here that are outlawed in Australia. Not allowed to go there. Like, literally, you will be fined. Like, they just don't allow it in the country. For children, for these are brands of food, large brands of food companies that make things for us in the United States, and they make them here. But then when they make them and send them to Australia, they take certain ingredients out because Australia has banned it. But yet we still allow people to eat it here. Like, this is insane. What? Why is that okay? You know? And then we wonder why our kids are sicker. They're getting more autism. They're, you know, we have all these people with mental illness. It's getting worse. Well, it's getting worse because we're allowing these toxins and these terrible things into our body. And, you know, yes, I guess just go with the flow, but no, like, not when it's your health.
You can't allow it.
You can't allow it. And that's
why we're allowing it.
Yeah, we are. And that's why I love their.
It's our fault. You can't blame the government.
It's true.
We have a choice, right? You are being programmed. Things are working against you, but. You know, you're seeing, you know, that's, I think that's the spiritual end of things, that there's consciousness and awakening that's happened over the century. So that's, once can people see that, listen to stuff like this, see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Question, what do you think the number one killer is in America?
Well, the number one killer in America is heart disease, if you want the medical terminology. But the number one killer in America is chronic inflammation. So I think a lot of it stems from inflammation. Well, I know the number one killer or disease process is inflammation, mostly stems from our food.
Yeah. What about properly prescribed medications? How many does that kill a year?
Oh yeah, for sure. Properly prescribed? Yes.
Yeah.
100%. It's still killing people.
Yeah. I think it's, and it's up there.
Yeah.
I don't know the real number, but I was just wondering. So a couple questions I'd love to ask.
Okay.
If you have something that you think could really help people, that's a strategy when it comes to toxicity, what would that be? Like, just avoid toxins.
Yeah. So I think the number one thing you can do is your food, right? So we all eat multiple times a day, food and water. So to any degree that you can, making sure you have a good filtration system on your water, and then making sure that you're staying around the perimeter of a grocery store. That's what I tell my patients. Don't go down the middle of the aisles. That's all full of crap. It's all processed. Stay on the perimeter.
That's where the vegetables and
the vegetables, the fruits, the meats, the dairy. Stay on the perimeter.
That's why I don't walk in the middle.
Yeah, that's why you don't walk in the middle. It's
eggs.
Full of garbage. Yeah. Eggs. Yes. So, you know, and I know it's really hard with food, but like, you've got to go back to trying to make sure that the nutrition you fuel your body with is really good nutrition. Now, that being said, the other thing that I am a huge proponent of and have been for a while is you've got to sweat and you've got to poop. You've got to detox, right?
Yeah.
And so many million, I was shocked at the millions of people in America, if you look it up, but all of my patients that are constipated, like that poop once a week, like that is not okay.
I was constipated when I was sick.
That is not okay. Like, you have to get rid of toxins, and we do it by pooping and sweating. And so a lot of people don't have physical activity in their life either. And so sauna has become a part of my morning routine.
Big sauna fan.
Oh my gosh. Dry sauna. Like, you need to sweat. You need to poop. So those are some things that, like,
and there's science behind the, I mean, of course, of poop, but of sauna, there you can measure the heavy metals and even BPA with or without sauna. Sauna definitely elevates some of those things, but there's quite a few studies. I've been researching them, and you can find elevated levels of toxins, and it also elevates it in your blood and your urine a little bit too, because it's coming out. So that's why when you start sauna, do it slow, because you are detoxing.
Yeah.
But if you're working out, like here, it's 107 right now. You go outside in the sun, you're in sauna, a really good, you know.
While you're getting your UV light. But,
yeah. And so it's better than a, you know, a sauna, except you got to watch, you know, getting burned because you have all the right wavelengths. But sweat does detox you. So that's a really inexpensive way. To detox is just exercise, movement, lymphatic, right? And you will feel better. And if you're really sick, you can't really exercise. So the last question is, if you were able to remove something in the world that's related to the toxicity, right? So I have five pillars, inhalation, ingestion, absorption, skin, the mind, toxic mind, energy, frequencies, and there's lots of different frequencies. We can get into energy, you know, fields and how that's all affects us.
Yeah.
What would you remove that could help society? And not just that, but something that you really believe is hurting society. And if you could get rid of that, that toxicity, what would it be?
I think mine would be mental, 100%. The mental toxicity, because I feel like, especially since COVID, but in general, people are just so, like, negative towards one another. We don't look at each other in the eyes. We don't communicate with each other. We're all behind our phone on screens. And that like bond of communication, that's one of our steps, is communication and relationships. And so I really think that the mental toxicity is very important too, because, you know, if you're saying negative things to yourself or thinking negative things about the world all the time, it infects so much of your hormones. So your adrenal, your cortisol, just thinking negative thoughts increases your cortisol and your insulin levels. Cortisol and insulin are very inflammatory. You're going to start this cascade of inflammation. The hormones or the good nutrition that you are eating can't even get into your body. And so for me, it would be the mental toxicity. So really working on gratitude. Don't let the negative thoughts in. Just get rid of them. You know, and when you do that, and when you show love, and when you're just a happy person to be around, people flock to you. Like, they want to be around that. I do. Like, when people have a great energy and they're always, you know, very positive, those are the people I want to be around. Those are the people who elevate me. Those are the people who make me want to be better, right? Like, oh, I want to be like that. I want to never be in a bad mood. I want to. So for me, I think it would be mental. I think for the entire world, if we could just get rid of the negativity in people's minds, right?
Yeah, and help them see again.
We could do a lot of great things.
Yeah, I think negativity that people are seeing is a blinder to the truth, right? And we get addicted to that negativity and those hormones. It's sad, but
and there's a lot of trauma related to that, most likely, right? And it's like there's an adaptive
That's why it's like, if you could remove it, it's a really hard one, right? But I think that that's beautiful. I mean, when it comes down to it, most people answer that question do say mindset and things related to that, because it really, that's one of the hardest things to fix. I think it's easier to eat a clean diet than it is to be positive if you have some negative things happening to you. And it's and I've seen it over and over again, because we run patterns, right? We are programmed, you know, from the day we were born. I mean, before we're born, we're being programmed, right? And they've shown the science.
I think one of the things that's really helped me with that is living in the gain, not the gap, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I try to do every morning, practice gratitude, right? So I think this kind of hit me one day, but I had a patient tell me one time, you know, I made a comment, and I wasn't griping, but I made some sort of comment about how I had been up since 5 o'clock because I had to go exercise. And I said this to a patient who was in a wheelchair, and he said to me when I was walking out the door, well, at least you have the privilege to exercise every morning. And he just kind of said it in passing, but that, like, I felt like I was this tall.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. And so now when my alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm like, I have the privilege and the health to be able to get up and go to the gym and exercise, you know? So just really changing your mindset about like gratitude, right?
Yeah.
I get to go, you know, like for you people listening to this, if you own businesses or you're stressed out or you're a doctor, you have the privilege of going to work and figuring out the problems that are going to be there from your business, but also you have the privilege of going to work and somebody actually trusts you with their life to help them feel better, right?
Yeah.
And so if you look at it like that, instead of like, oh my gosh, I have to go see 20 people today, you look at it as there are 20 people who are allowing me the privilege of helping them change their life.
It's beautiful. I love that. It's a great place to end, is turning your have to's into get to's. That's what we tell our kids, you know. You don't have to do the dishes, you get to, right? I mean, you get to use a dishwasher. What a blessing, you know?
You got to eat, then you have dirty dishes.
Yeah, you turn your have to's into get to's, and the world will be a better place. So beautiful story and show. Thanks for sharing your heart. How can people find you?
So I have an Instagram page. I'm very active on social media.
Your Insta.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I have a podcast. It's called Back to the Basics. Website. I'm working on an e-learning library. So I'm it, you know, I can send you guys all that. You can link it in the show notes. But I'm on YouTube. So all the platforms.
Good for you. Well, thank you for transitioning over to this place. And
the scary space.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough decision, you know. I mean, it's like you know, changing your belief structure, you know, it takes a lot of work. So congratulations, and
thank you
for being here and continuing what you do and helping so many people. And I look forward to getting on your show in the future.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for having me. Thank you for doing what you do as well. It's important work.
Yeah.
Getting rid of toxins is important.
Come on, let's if we can remove them, let's do it. Why
let's
not?
Do it.
All right.